Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
First Samuel 13, Consecrated Things. Saul lived for 1 year and then became king. And when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and the hill country of Bethel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent home, every man to his tent. Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard it and said that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and troops like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. And some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offerings here to me, and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you, for the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal, and the rest of the people went up after Saul and to meet him and the army. And they went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his sons, and the people were present with them. And they stayed at Geba of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped at Michmash. And raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned toward Ophrah to the land of Sheol. Another company turned toward Beth Horon. And another company turned toward the border that looks down on the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears." But every one of the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, or his sickle. And the charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares and for the mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening the axes and for setting the goads. So on the day of the battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people with Saul and Jonathan, but Saul and Jonathan his son had them, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to pass of Michmash. Interesting details that are given to us. He lives for 1 year and then he becomes king. We see this progression. Remember, we said earlier, Saul goes home with, he's a king without a court, a palace, or a throne. And we have one of the mainstay enemies of the Israelites, the Philistines. They had a big army. They had a mastery of ironworks. I think this is the reason given for the details here, that Israel is working at a deficit right from the beginning. There's fear. The people are scattering. There's an implicit agreement that Saul and Samuel have had. Basically, it's Samuel saying, "I'll do the prophetic priestly thing, you do the military thing." But Saul crosses the line. And he offers sacrifice. The language is interesting. I forced myself to do it. When Samuel arrives, he says, "What have you done?" The command of the Lord. You could have had a king that would, you could have had a kingdom that would continue. But the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. We're starting to get the foreshadowing of the tragic ending that will come by chapter 15. Saul is a tragic figure in this story. He's the first king. There'll be 23 in all. The majority are tragic, sadly. Jehoiachin will be the final one 500 years later. The so what of this passage is a warning to all men and women who would hear and take seriously God's call. Peterson, in his commentary, writes, "Saul's disobedience is not a mere technical violation, but a lack of trust in God." The now what in this is to remind myself to go back to original callings, go back to original words the Lord has spoken over me, and remain faithful to them. And as I said earlier about Saul, for myself, I need to stay in the lane that God has called me to be in and not try to enter somebody else's lane. And so, Lord, we acknowledge right now we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The giftings that you have given us are our giftings to be used. Your anointing is to bring effect upon those giftings. Lord, we don't want somebody else's calling. We don't want somebody else's task. We don't want somebody else's anointing. We want your anointing for the things that you called us to this day. Release it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.